Are you tired of playing small, keeping your big idea locked inside of you, of looking forward to the someday in the future when you'll finally know enough or be enough to take the risk? This is Ideas in Play, a limited run podcast brought to you by the Play Day Summit. In this show, we explore how people in different professions can use play to let their big ideas out into the world so they can make an impact. If you want to know more about the Play Day Summit, head over to playdaysummit.com. How's it going, everyone? My name is Jeff Gibbard, and I am a professional keynote speaker. I'm a blogger. I'm a podcaster. I'm an entrepreneur of many different stripes. I'm a consultant, a coach. I do a lot of different things, but today I am here as a podcaster with my good friend, Dr. James. Dr. James, tell them about you. Who are you?
I am the world's number one speaker performance coach. And with that, I coach others, but I'm also a speaker and author myself. And my topic is primarily authenticity and speaking.
Beautiful. You are the perfect person to have here today. I'm so excited to chat with you about this because today what we're going to talk about is the benefits of becoming a professional speaker. So you've been in this game longer than I have. What's your quick background? How long have you been doing this speaking thing?
I started my own company in 2002. Prior to that, I worked for the Bob Pike Group out of Edina, Minnesota, cut my teeth there. And prior to that, I worked in corporate 14 years for the Vanguard Group, the Prudential. I kid about the Prudential because when I started there, I started working for the department that covered AARP. I am now an AARP member. So the Prudential, Vanguard, Core State Bank, absolutely full circle.
Right on. And out of that history of your career, what was your involvement with being a speaker throughout that? I'm sure it wasn't the same then as it was now, working on the department that does the AARP stuff and now having your card yourself. There's been some change along that. What's been that journey for you in terms of your speaking career? When did you begin throughout that? When did it become a primary focus? Kind of take us through that.
Absolutely. My first job was with Prudential, like I mentioned, and I was in the marketing department. And after 2-3 years, that was growing stale. The only thing I really liked about that role was when we had a chance to meet with AARP leadership and make our concept presentations. Mm. And I kept getting feedback that you present well. So again, I grew tired of that role and I ended up posting while still at Prudential, posting into HR, and I became a human resources trainer, found my role, found my sweet spot. Yes. And from HR trainer, was associate manager, then at the Vanguard Group was management development, doing training and speaking. And that's where I really fell in love with keynoting, because I would do corporate training, but then some of the managers would say, I can't motivate my team. Like, how do I motivate my team? And I said, well, let me speak to them. And that speaking to them turned into a keynote. So anytime I built any competency models or management development training, the project would always conclude with me doing a keynote. And that's when I said, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up. And as the other vendors would come in and do management development for the companies I worked for, I would pick their brain. And eventually one of them hired me as a subcontractor, still maintain my full-time job, but I would do a session once a month, twice a month, going out to do work for him. And after that, I said, now speaking is my gig. This is my thing. I'm going to do that until I expire, not retire.
I love it. And you hit on so many different ways of speaking and so many different paths that people get into speaking. So I want to make sure that we touch on that. I want to circle back to the original question of the episode, which is, what are the benefits of becoming a professional speaker? And you kind of very lightly grazed over some of them, which was that, you know, in some way you got to follow your passion and you got to find something that really excites you. You got the opportunity to teach people and you got to develop skills that you could use. You were first starting as presenting ideas to a client, but then it became training and then it became keynotes. So there were so many things that you kind of peppered in there. I'm wondering if you could give kind of just your perspective on what you think is the reason why someone might want to consider a career in speaking, whether it be their primary or whether it be something that supports the other type of work that they're doing.
Certainly, Jeff. When you're a speaker, you are a certified difference maker. You have a larger voice. You're reaching more people. My clients primarily are in the pharmaceutical area, but I still hotel restaurant management, insurance, financial, and I get a chance to touch so many people. I get a chance to help heal so many people. So it's not the 9 to 5 or the same client base every day. It's domestic. I've been to 43 states. It's international. I've been to over 30 countries. And regardless of where I'm at, fortunately, I've been blessed to have the same impact. But I really feel like I'm making an impact on a global stage, and I love it. And I get bored quick. I'm super creative. I like touching different types of people and seeing if this mojo works in China. Does it work in Australia? Does it work in Norway? Does it work in Newark? And it does. And I could not imagine doing the same thing for the same employer every single day. I'm a maverick. I gotta go. And I feel as though speaking has created a platform for me to go, go, and go again.
I love it. And I've seen you speak, and I know that it definitely works from China to Norway to Newark. So I know you've got that mojo. So, you're a and for people listening, I'm sure you can hear it coming through. People who are watching, I'm sure they can see it coming through, but you have the energy and the passion for this work, right? And I'm sure that part of that has grown over time. I'm sure it was there a bit at the beginning. For people who are early in, just thinking about getting started in their speaking career, or maybe they've done it a little bit, but they haven't quite gotten things off the ground, or even seasoned speakers who are thinking, man, I want to take this to the next level and I want to really reap the full benefits of it. But maybe they don't have that same energy that you're bringing to it. How do you get people to, and this is your thing, right? Motivating people. How do you get people to see and get motivated around the idea of the benefits that it brings to you personally to have that opportunity and that privilege on the stage? And maybe even looking at it just very practically, what does it mean for your career to have the opportunity to incorporate speaking into it?
Wow. Jeff, if I wasn't a professional speaker, I think I would be a minister, a pastor someplace. I get asked that all the time. What church do you preach at? What church do you preach in? I don't. However, speaking has become my ministry because I feel that way when I go into different organizations. Now, with regard to what should someone consider, I'm going to say, Jeff, around 3 or 4 years into my speaking career, I was doing a keynote. I was in Phoenix, Arizona. I was crushing it, crushing it. And I came into the end of my keynote and I told my signature story. And it's about my dad and our lack of a relationship for a number of years. My parents were divorced when I was 11. I saw my father again when I was 25. I saw him again when I was 35. And I tell that story, but it doesn't end well. When my father and I was going to meet for dinner to reconcile things, Mother's Day, May 9th, 1999, having only seen him twice in over 25 years, that morning, the morning of the evening that we're supposed to meet, he had a heart attack and passed at the age of 59. And that's when I started using my junior, because prior to that, it was just Jim Smith or James Smith, my way of honoring his memory. Because he taught me what to do and what not to do, because he had some bad habits, but he was super charismatic. I told that story to end my keynote, and this is what you heard: crickets, silence, tears. And from that, I learned you never tell a sad, gory story to close a keynote. Now, if I had other speaker mentors in my life, they would have told me that. And I would have told that story in the middle and have given people service recovery time for them to recover from what I shared with them. So now I know, sad story, middle, somewhere near the beginning, but the beginning sets the tone. But I said all that to say, meeting speaker, creating speaker friends and mentors and contacts and watching and listening and learning. I would say do that before you step on any stage because everyone's watching now. Everyone has a phone. They can video record you. The degree of authenticity, the degree of wisdom and savviness plays a key role. But once you get the swing of things, you're a difference maker, game changer.
Yeah, and that's something that when we had come into this, I actually hadn't even thought about, but the benefits of being a speaker, not just to your career, not in terms of your ability to make more money, right? Or go places. The ability to communicate more effectively, that's another thing, right? The ability to expand your streams of revenue. So there's all these different things, but I hadn't really thought about the point that you just made, which is that when you do take the step to become a professional speaker, when you start to run in those circles, you find other people from all walks of life who have different things to offer to you that can give you guidance. And
Yes.
even if it's not about how you close out a keynote, it could just be about the communication skills to be more effective in a pitch, to be in a sales meeting, to be, in terms of your relationships. The stories that you hear from other speakers are life lessons, not just in how you perform better on the stage, but how you perform better in life. So I also think
Absolutely.
that there's a real benefit to the community that you're becoming a part of there, that if that becomes, to your point, kind of like your ministry, like the people who are in the congregation with you there, professional speakers are people who are trying to make and facilitate change in the world. They're playing in big ideas. They're constantly trying to improve themselves and improve their craft. And I think people can learn a lot from that as part of the benefits. One thing I wanted to ask you about that I was curious if you had a perspective on this, but
Sure.
people want to go into the world of professional speaking, I think a lot because they see maybe someone like Gary Vee on stage, or they see someone like Tony Robbins or all these big names, and they think, I want to do a keynote in front of 500,000 people. And this is often before they've ever sat on stage in front of 20 people. I'm curious if you can talk about maybe some of the misconceptions or commonly held beliefs that maybe they don't really quite mesh with what the actual experience of being a speaker is, that when you look at what the benefits of being a speaker are, what you may think they are might be different from what they actually are. Like, what is that commonly misunderstood belief that people really should think about as they approach this career?
One of the beliefs is that there's a lot of people out there that don't know what goes in to speaking. I think I heard the quote, "People are rewarded in public for what they do in private." Speaking requires a lot of practice, putting in the hard work. We make it look easy, but it's challenging. I get nervous every time I go on for the first 2 or 3 minutes, and then my nerves flying, my butterflies fly in formation. Another misconception is that all speakers make a lot of money. No, we don't. And there's a misconception that all speakers get paid on time. No, we don't. You have to do your homework, your business plan, your business model to determine how am I going to get paid? Do I do a deposit? Do I get paid in full before I go on? I got to give some thought to how do I go after international money? Because chasing someone domestically for your money is one thing, but trying to reach them internationally is something else. And since we make it look easy, people see us up there with no notes. No notes. And many of the great speakers, no teleprompter. It's like the stand-up comedian who gets you to laugh uncontrollably for 2 hours with no notes and no visual aids other than the stool, their microphone. Imagine that. 2 hours, no PowerPoint. And we still get what they're saying. So great speakers have a lot of hurdles to clear. It's not that easy. And when the pandemic first hit, speakers who did not have a virtual platform didn't get any work for a number of months because we did not put pandemic on our vision board. And Jeff, I really honed my virtual speaking skills by watching my pastor do virtual church, preach in a church, empty church, and was sweating, getting into it, singing and everything. Come on, choir, I can't hear you. No one's in the room. So I watched him, I watched him, I watched. That's what I have to do. Take whatever I do in person, do it virtual. But it required a lot of practice. It doesn't come naturally to some people. Speaking for me is 25/8. I never turn this off. I'm always looking for a lesson. It's nonstop work, and some people think it's easy. It's not, but it's so rewarding.
One thing about that really jumped out at me, and you didn't say these words directly, but I tend to think that people assume, because you see the pictures of speakers on Facebook and on Instagram, they're always taking selfies with other speakers, and everybody knows each other, and everybody is very buddy buddy with each other. So there feels like well, there's this club you have to get into, right? And I think what a misconception that I think is out there, and I know I made it myself, was I thought that there was this clique that I had to get into. And if I got into it, then I wouldn't feel lonely as a speaker. But it turns out that never matters. You are always somewhat feeling alone as a speaker because it's kind of you against the world to get your gigs. Even if you have people that recommend you, even if you recommend other people, there is this kind of eat what you kill mentality about it. And even when you start to connect with some of those speakers who are really, really popular and get paid, full fees, big fees, you come to find out that for them, sometimes it's very lonely. It's a lot of that work in the lab, right? It's being by yourself, working on an idea, maybe then working with a mentor, but it's a very kind of solo craft. And I think one of the things that, and I want to make sure that we insert our shameless plug here, but the reason that we decided to do this Play Day Summit together and why we decided to build this whole thing was that we said speakers shouldn't have to always feel alone. We should be able to find places where we come together and really benefit from that incredible community that you mentioned and exchange ideas, but do it in a safe place where we could really feel finally connected and together. So I thought that was a point that you didn't specifically say, but I wanted to call it out because I thought it was important.
Oh, yeah, you are spot on. It does get lonely out there. The traveling, the eating meals by
Oh,
yourself.
yeah.
Regardless, I'm going to say regardless, but if you do drive yourself to the airport rather than get car service or Uber or Lyft, sometimes coming back late at night and you're tired, you're going to lose your car. You're going to forget where you parked it.
Yep.
And going up and down the elevator, Philly
Oh,
International,
brutal.
I've been there. I've been there. It's rewarding, but like you said, Jeff, it can be lonely. And there's going to be times when you want to be alone, but the AV people and the other people in the audience, they're going to want to talk to you
Yep.
before I go on. I want complete silence. I'm getting in my zone. I usually stay in my room right before I have to go on because I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to be on the zone. Let me go right to that stage and get it in. But they want to mic you and they want to talk to you. And what do you think? You're ready? You're ready to go away?
I feel you 100%. And it's funny because, we could sit here and we could list off all of the things that are challenging about being in this business and all the things that can feel lonely and all the things that can make you feel disconnected or, the dreaded quote unquote imposter syndrome, right? Of do I have a right to be up here and say these things? We can say all that. But at the end of the day, turn around and you ask most speakers who have been on a stage, and it's sort of like that. I don't know if you play golf, but some people who play golf might understand this. But when you make connection with the ball just right and you feel that vibration and you're like, you just chase that feeling, right? I remember the very first time I set foot on stage and I was terrified beforehand. I had all of the nerves. I felt very, my foot hit the stage and a wash of calm came over me. And I was like, oh, I belong here. Oh, I understand now. And I think for those of us who are out there who do fall in love with the world of speaking and who love being on that stage, whether we are up there telling a free gig or whether we are doing a full fee gig, whether we are doing it to sell and promote our services on the back end or whether we're getting paid to be up there and give that. I think the opportunity, the privilege of being on that stage and having the opportunity to affect and impact people, that is something that across the speaking world, the people that I've met who really stick with this, that's the big benefit for them is that opportunity to affect change. So I
You
want to ask
mentioned
you,
it. You mentioned it. It's a privilege.
100%. I
I mean,
completely, I feel that deep in my soul. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to leave people with a few tangibles. So we've talked a lot about kind of all different things about the benefits of being a speaker. For those who are out there that are either seasoned or new speakers and they're looking to get into the game and sort of begin to try to figure out where they're going to find what is the value for them and also what's the value they can contribute through this sort of work, where would you give them as starting points of maybe some questions to ask themselves, some things to investigate, some people to meet, some resource to consume? Like, what would be your, if you had to start over tomorrow or let's say, someone close to you came to you and said, hey, I'm thinking about being a speaker. Where would you set them off as the starting points to get them excited about it?
well, I'll begin by saying what not to do, and that's what I did. I was a superstar corporate speaker, subcontractor. I was smelling myself. I thought I was the bomb.com, that I would start this company and gigs would come in right away. They did not. I left my corporate jobs. I was a vice president in an organization, making really good money, went into speaking, and I think my first year I made like $30,000, $40,000. Don't do that. Build your business plan. build your marketing plan, build your model. And as you're doing that, first think about your brand. Who are you? What are you going to speak on? Just recently, I was at a conference and a person said, she's growing by shrinking. Like, what are you talking about? She said, I spoke on four or five different topics. So if you go look for me online, whatever, you wouldn't know what topic to search for because I had so many. I narrowed my focus just to this one area. So in shrinking, I have expanded. I'm now the expert. People, when they want this, they know where to find me because they know that's my gig. So new speakers, brand, what you're going to speak on, something that you would speak for free on it because you love that topic. Get feedback on how people see you. Ask them for praise, what you do well, polish, what you don't do well, and some possibilities, how to do what I do even better. So praise, polish, possibilities. Align yourself with other speakers, other groups. Shameless plug for the National Speakers Association. It has helped me tremendously in growing my business and learning how to negotiate, learning how to scale, learning how to tell stories. And I'm around people who do this for a living. Some are sensational, some are new. I take a look at what I want, I discard the rest. But this is an industry, this is a business. This is not just show up and throw up. You're not just giving information, you're creating experiences. And right now, the world is clamoring for authenticity, stealing the quote from Kurt Cobain, I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I'm not. People can see through the ego, see through the mess. They need to see the best version of you all the time. And trust me, speaking is not for the faint of heart. God, bring that courage with you too, because they're going to be feast and famine. And you're going to have to build a business to hold up during those famine times.
All good tips. I don't think I could possibly follow that up. I just want to say, Dr. James, it is amazing to talk to you as always. I could do this with you literally every day, and I think it would be probably the best part of my day each time. Aside from giving my daughter a hug in the morning. You can't top that. I'm really excited to see you at the Playday Summit. The event that we have put together is going to be incredible. And to your point about like where to start, I think the curriculum that we've got put together, the different activities, all the different stuff is going to give people that opportunity to really play with some of these ideas and find what it is that makes them vibrate and resonate and want to put that message out in the world. So for those that are out there listening, I hope you come and join us at the Playday Summit. Go to playdaysummit.com to learn more about the event. It's on April 20th right here in Philadelphia. Dr. James will be there, special guest doing amazing stuff. And we got the rest of our team. We're going to have a blast and a half. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And I hope those of you who are listening, I hope to see you there as well. Seats are limited, so don't delay.
Don't delay to get to play day.
Absolutely. And just as a huge special thanks to you, Dr. James. You know, Jeff Harry and I brought you this idea with Sarah and with Lauren, and we said, hey, we have this idea for this remarkable event. And you said, I'm in, let's do it. And you helped us bring it together, and you helped us put the weight of the NSA Philadelphia behind it. And you know, we've really created something that's going to be exclusively for speakers. And I just want to thank you for your partnership on that. This is going to be such an amazing event, and you were such a help in helping bring this to life. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come play at Play Day. As Fat Albert, I'm dating myself, Fat Albert would say, hey, it's time to go to Play Day.
That's fantastic. I haven't heard that in forever. All right. Well, all of you out there, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of Ideas in Play. Ideas in Play is brought to you by the Playday Summit. To see if the Playday Summit is coming up near you and to get tickets, go to playdaysummit.com.